Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, a lot of talk about Joe Manchin and West Virginia. And what's interesting to me is the good folks at End Citizens United did a little opinion poll of the folks in West Virginia and found that some of the Biden policies, pretty popular, like the American Rescue Plan, the COVID relief plan. 64% of the folks there in West Virginia favored it, 31% not. The American Jobs Plan that Joe Biden has proposed, 68% of West Virginians said, yeah, we like that. And of the For the People Act, a whopping 79% said that they believe that everyone should have the right to vote and we should make it easier and do the things that are in that. I got to tell you, I'm fairly shocked by that number. Which tells me maybe people are getting a different message than Joe Manchin and the rest of the Republican Party. I'm here to share some thoughts on, well, you know, what do Democrats do with Joe Biden? What do they do with the filibuster? Is Joe Biden, is Joe Manchin right? We can't get rid of the filibuster because it would be bad? Well, here to share some thoughts, I've asked our good friend Marshall Hertzkowitz to come talk with us. Marshall's an American film director, writer, producer, currently the president emeritus of the Producers Guild of America. Marshall, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be back.
So you've got this opinion poll out saying, you know what, people pretty happy with Joe Biden, pretty happy with some of the policy directions and the For the People Act, 79%. Yep. I got to tell you, yep. I'm shocked by that number.
Yep. Yes. But of course, people don't know what's in it. So, you know, they like the idea of you know, people being allowed to vote. And I think that's very important that that's popular. But I think, honestly, I think we're looking at this whole thing through the wrong lens. I mean, you know, people are talking about Manchin and whether he should support this or that, whether he should be, you know, getting rid of the filibuster. I mean, you and I were just talking about this. I think the only lens we should be looking through right now is 2022 and 2024. We are in such danger. I mean, we would be in danger even if, you know, 14, 15, 16 states weren't really considering ending democracy by allowing their legislatures to overturn elections.
Right.
I mean, when you look at the Texas bill, it's not even as bad as a lot of these other bills because they can invalidate an election, but that just means they have to hold another one. Some of these ones are literally going to let the legislatures decide. It's a nightmare. So the point is, we have to only be thinking of how do we have landslide victories in 22 and 24 when history tells us we're going to lose. So, we are up against such an enormous difficulty right now. So the focus has to be, how do you win? Now, it may be that the way to win is to get rid of the filibuster and pass all this stuff that we want to do and get it done quickly. It may be that's not the way to win. I think research is going to tell us a lot. I think the thing we have to really understand, and it's what I keep saying every single day, is that we are up against a right-wing messaging machine that is 100 times more powerful than anything we have. Look at you with your show. How many right-wing hosts are there doing radio shows compared to you?
There's a thousand.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying. Fox is terrifying. OAN, it's all terrifying. They're all coordinated. They all have the same messaging. They have billions of dollars behind them. We have nothing like that. The progressive left, the regular left, the Democrats have nothing like that. They don't understand messaging. This is the real problem right now, is that we keep doing things that they message against us. And so even as those people in West Virginia are saying they're okay with the For the People Act, you know, if you pull them on other things, they're gonna hate things that they think Democrats do or they think Democrats stand for because right-wing messaging told them that's what Democrats are. And that's our real problem right now. That's what we really have to fight. So, you know, for instance, let's talk about For the People Act. The For the People Act has a lot of problems, and the Democrats should admit it has a lot of problems. It is a Democratic wish list. It is a partisan act. And I'm not saying, by the way, that I believe the Republicans would support it. That's not my point. They're never going to support it. The Republicans aren't going to support anything we do. The battle is for the hearts and minds of the people. And what I'm saying is there are things in the For the People Act that the right can use against Democrats that don't need to be in there. You don't need automatic registration. You don't need same-day registration. That we haven't had that before, and we don't need that to win elections. That's a wish list, okay? What we need is to get rid of gerrymandering. What we need is to get rid of suppression. You know, there are so many aspects of what we do need, and we should be getting rid of the things we don't need, because what we're doing is we're shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, but isn't that from a negotiating standpoint? If you're taking your legislation, your wish list, for instance, into negotiation, yes, with someone who's going to give you nothing, these give you things that then take off the table.
That's my whole point, and you're exactly right. There's no one to negotiate with anymore.
So what you're doing is you're negotiating with yourself. I'm of the mindset, yes, if you're going to not negotiate with me and you're going to give me my wish list, I'm going to take my wish list.
No, all right, here's where I disagree, okay? Who we're negotiating with is the American people. Who we're negotiating with is the 75 million people who voted for Donald Trump, you know, who and more of them who voted for Republican candidates instead of Democratic candidates, that we have to negotiate against ourselves, and I'll tell you why. Because it's about acting in good faith. What the American people really want right now is someone who's going to act in good faith. And if the Democrats say, this is the bill we actually need as Americans, it's not a progressive bill, it's an American bill, there are tens of millions of people who are going to hear that in the United States. And those are the people we need to change their vote from the Republican in their state to the Democrat in their state. So that's why I say, yes, we should be negotiating against ourselves, not out of weakness, because that's how you win elections.
But here's where I kind of agree with you on this, but there's a part of me that goes, you know, you're never going to get them to come along. You're never going to get the Republicans to come along. And their message machine, no matter what you do, is going to be against it. And their base is always going to be against it. So there's really nothing that you can do on any level that they're going to agree with outside of voter ID, outside of no mail-in ballot, outside of getting away from drop boxes and any way to make voting easier. So, you know, while I agree that, you know, you want to have the most functional bill possible and the best messaged bill, I just don't see that it's possible, given the fact that you have a party who is saying no to everything while simultaneously doing in the states the same kind of partisan stuff that they're accusing the Democrats of doing. In states across this country, there's no bipartisan stealing of the votes. There's one party working to steal the next election.
Totally right. Totally right. I agree. So I am not saying that we should be negotiating with the Republicans or acting in good faith with the Republicans.
Right.
They're not going to do anything. I'm saying act in good faith with the people who are persuadable. And I'm saying there are tens of millions of people in America in the middle who are persuadable. The Republican base is not persuadable. They are in delusion land.
Right.
Okay. But there are millions of people out there who are not happy with where the Republican Party is going. And if they see a Democratic Party act like grown-ups, and in other words, like the things you say, it's like, yes, I think mail-in voting is great, but we lived without mail-in voting for the most part for 200 years. You know, we lived without early voting for 200 years. It would be great to have it, but it's more important that we get rid of gerrymandering. It's more important that we get rid of outright voter suppression, you know, of the closing of polling places. So what I'm saying is if the Democrats put forth a lean, honest, straightforward bill that was dead clear on the fact that it was going to make voting possible for everyone. Let me say one other thing. Okay. The ideological difference between Republicans and Democrats about voting is that Democrats say it should be easy to vote. Republicans say it shouldn't be easy to vote, because Republicans believe that Americans are basically lazy. That's why Republicans say, well, we give them too much benefits so they won't go back to work. That's why, you know, that's why Romney in 2012 said 47% are the takers, okay? Republicans believe that you should get off your ass and work to vote. You should have to register. You should have to go there. You should have to be an upright citizen and show that you really care about voting. They're not going to change their minds on that. So what I would say is give a little bit to that side. We don't have, we can win elections under the terms that they're talking about, but we can't win elections if legislatures overturn the vote of the people. We can't win elections if they have no polling places in black areas. I mean, there are very specific things that we really need in a bill to protect our democracy. And we can live with the rest because we've lived with it for a long time. That's right. What I'm saying.
So you would suggest, and I don't know where you're at on this, would you suggest saying that, you know, voter ID is okay?
It's not a question of whether it's okay. I think it's a question of, first of all, it's also about many, many, many Republicans believe that the federal government is trying to have too much power. And they're going to vote against something like that, not because they agree or don't agree with voter ID, but because they don't want the federal government to mandate it. That scares the crap out of them. So I would say leave that to the states. They already have voter ID in these states. We can mobilize the forces necessary to get IDs for all those people. We should get our damn billionaires to put up $500 million so that we can get everybody an ID who needs one. I'd rather we spend our money doing that and protect the things that are absolutely essential to make sure that we're allowed to vote.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, the reality is something has to get done because, 2022, if things remain the way they are, I can see, the original intent folks have already told us they want to go back to the way things were, the House of Representatives deciding who's going to be president.
I get it. I'm just saying that, look, it's impossible to predict the future. We have to ask ourselves, what's the best way to win in 22 or 24?
Right.
And my feeling is the best way to win in 22 or 24 is we must get things done, but it must be able to be said about the Democrats that they did it in a fair-minded, grown-up American way. So, for instance, let's say we end up getting rid of the filibuster, okay? If we got rid of the filibuster because we ran into six roadblocks from the Republicans time after time after time, and it was ridiculous already, and it was clear that they didn't want to get anything done, then more people are going to say, okay, I guess maybe it's all right to get rid of the filibuster. If you get rid of the filibuster right now, a lot of those people in the middle are going to say, those socialist Democrats, see, they want to just seize power. It's how it's done.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because this is why I say this is a failure of Chuck Schumer. It's a failure of Schumer to hold Sinema and Manchin to account. The Tom DeLays of the world and the Newt Gingriches and the Mitch McConnells would have certainly held their people to account. But importantly, not continuing to push this issue and make the Republicans take votes and make them be out in public so people see that. This idea that one guy can secretly filibuster something and nothing come up for a vote is ridiculous to me.
By the way, I've long been in favor of going back to the way the filibuster used to be.
A talking filibuster.
The talking filibuster, because it's not just that the person has to talk. It's that the people supporting the filibuster must be present. And these guys are so damn lazy. They want to go back and they don't want to be there for 48, 72, 106 hours. The point is, it would be rarely used, but it would still be there. Because again, I say over and over again, look what happened to us with Kavanaugh. Look what happened to us with Barrett. It's going to end up biting us in the ass if we get rid of the filibuster. Eventually, the Republicans will be in power. And think what they're going to do. Think they're going to ban abortion. They're going to get rid of Social Security. They're going to mandate a balanced budget. There are a million things they could do, and we could not stop them. So I am really fearful about getting rid of the filibuster altogether, but I do think we could reform it and make it useful to both sides.
What do you say to the person who says, Marshall, that, let's say that happens. They go and do all this stuff, and immediately the people uprise, and, this is the democracy after all. They throw all the bums out. The next crew comes in and returns to those and undoes the damage that they've done. And that maybe there's actual voters being engaged and active and nobody wanting to defy the voters so those things don't happen.
Well, look, that makes a lot of sense. But I look at a 6-3 Supreme Court and I look at what's happening in these state legislatures around the country. Yeah. And I can't guarantee that the laws passed by a Republican majority, if they had it in 2024, if they had a Republican president and both houses, I can't guarantee that we would ever recover from that. I can't guarantee that we would even be a democracy after that. I can't guarantee we're going to be a democracy in 2022, as a matter of fact. So, yes, you're right. In as we imagine America, say they come to power, right, and they do all those things and we would vote them out. That's in the America you want to believe we're in, but I'm not sure we're in that America. It scares me a lot. That's all.
And I'm right there with you. I mean, there's, I have great trepidation in this moment that, I'm looking at this and going, let's say, the Mitch McConnell gets power in 22. They take the House back in 24. Donald Trump wins again. Do you think that McConnell doesn't undo the filibuster then to move forward their thing? I mean, this is kind of where I'm in this moment.
Well, there is a way to do that. By the way, there is a way to do that. And I think it's possible. I think if you reform the filibuster and then pass it as legislation, I believe you would get the 60 votes to pass that as legislation. And because once it's legislation, then it can't be overturned as a rule change. Then it's a much harder thing to change. And so that's what I've been saying is pass it as legislation, as a reform. And I bet you could get the votes to do it. But I'm a Pollyanna.
No, and look, because here's my problem. My problem is I want to get things done.
Yes.
We've been talking about infrastructure in this country for basically my entire life. We've been heavily talking about it since 2008 when the economy dropped out, and that this is how we're going to revive our economy. This is how we're going to bring jobs back. So we're going to do all these wonderful things. And yet we still haven't, we had 4 years of infrastructure week, still no investment. Things have to get done.
But we're going to do it. We're going to do it. In other words, he's going to pass it through reconciliation. It's going to happen. In other words, this guy, look, it's going to be 6 months, whatever it is, 6 or 7 months. Within his first 7 months in office, he will have passed two major bills that will have far-reaching effects on America for a generation. That's a remarkable thing. They're going to pass it. You know that. They're going to do it through reconciliation. And you're right. He has to get it done, but I'm saying he's going to get it done.
Okay.
And he doesn't have to get rid of the filibuster to get that done, because that could be done through reconciliation. You can't do for the people through reconciliation because it's not a budget situation. That you're going to need the 60 vote majority. That's a much harder bill to pass. That's all. But us old guys know that Washington is really slow. Things are slow. I think he's been really fast getting things done, historically speaking.
Yeah.
And he's going to get this done. They're in the middle of it. It's going to go on maybe a couple more weeks, and then they're going to pass it through reconciliation.
Yeah, they can't let it go much longer because they need a win, and people's lives need to get better. At the end of the day,
you need
those jobs. You need that economic activity because people vote on how they're feeling, and Republicans understand this, which is why we're seeing this. This negotiation game that's going on, the same thing they pulled back during the Obamacare.
They're just trying to slow it down. They're trying to run out the clock. That's all they're doing. Yeah.
Last question I've got for you, because here's where my concern back to the For the People Act and voting. Is there anything Democrats can do between now and the next election that you see that can get through that's going to stave off the kind of disaster that I see in 2022 as states across this country with Republican legislatures and governors have basically rigged the game already? Is there anything to be done, or is this you're going to need a landslide to hold on to anything?
We're going to need a landslide, and what should be done, we don't have the apparatus to do, which is we should be doing an unbelievable messaging war in all of these states. Who would have ever thought that the most powerful weapon we have on our side right now is corporate America? That's where we are right now, is who's defending democracy is corporate America. That's remarkable. And that's shame on all of us that we can't do better, that it's finally Coca-Cola, that stands up for us. We should be spending $500 million in messaging right now in those states, convincing people that what they're doing is absolute folly. And we could do that, but we just, there is no will or understanding in the Democratic Party that's how you win political wars, is through messaging.
Yep. No, I've been, you're preaching to the choir on that one, Marshall.
I know.
But I appreciate the time and the thoughts. Good talk.
All right. Thank you, as always.
Good stuff. Our good friend Marshall Herskowitz. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You agree? We keep the filibuster, maybe reform it, maybe get legislation. Well, it's an idea. Love to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick at therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.